Good morning and welcome. We're glad to have you all here on this wonderful Sunday, which is also Rally Day at our church. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I am pastor here and will be leading worship. John McElhaney is going to be our liturgist this morning. Heather Hicks will be leading our Especially for Children, and Lynn Meyer going to play the piano to start us off and the organ later during the service. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and put it in one of the offering plates that are located at the back here of the sanctuary. If you are visiting from home, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. If you want to know more about our congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. Just wanted to note that the flowers this morning are given by Joan and Ed Hyde in celebration of their 63rd wedding anniversary. Congratulations to both of you. As I said, Rally Day is here. This morning we kick off our Sunday school program. We're also going to be handing out Bibles to our three-year-olds and fourth graders. Children will then, after, especially for children, go to the Heart Room for the Sunday school program during the remainder of worship, and parents can pick up their children there after the service. You may notice in the bulletin for parents, there's a QR code to register your kids so that we can keep track of them for you. Give it a try. This is a new thing for us, so we're wanting to work at it and work out the kinks, just like everything else we're working on here. And then later today at 5 p.m., there will be a picnic and carnival at the Henson's House at 5780 Tussock Avenue in Westerville. It's about a mile north of Westerville Central High School. There will be games, activities led by our Christian education team. Dinner will be provided. All you need to do is bring yourself in a lawn chair. Now, I have been told that there is a dunk tank there, and a certain pastor and Christian Ed director are the celebratory people who get to sit at the dunk tank. Now, they also are calling for the possibility of rain, so I figure if I have to get wet, all of you have to get wet, right? Actually, the latest forecast we have is the rain will be passing us by, and we should be good at 5 o'clock. However, if we need to move it, we will move the food and carnival portion back here to the fellowship room downstairs. I'll send out a robocall if we are moving Rally Day indoors. Probably do that between 3 and 4 this afternoon. Fortunately, if we have to move back in, the dunk tank will not come with it. Fortunately, for some of us, anyway. All right, we are also blessing the backpacks today. So if you have a backpack or a briefcase, you are welcome to bring it up for the blessing of the backpacks. That'll be part of our Especially for Children this morning. If you're at home, just have that backpack with you at home, and we will bless it there as well. All right. Other announcements today include, and this is not coming off, there we go. Our Farmers Market ministry on Saturday mornings is continuing. We had well over 100 kids yesterday, and thank Heather and her volunteers who have staked out a place right out here on our church lawn and in the parking lot for games for kids, and we get attract all sorts of kids, and we sure could use some others to volunteer to just help out with those 100 kids coming by. There are sign-up sheets in our sign-up book, and the times are 8:30 to 10:30 or 10:30 to 12:30, two shifts, and we'd be glad if you could take one of them and help us out. The women of First Presbyterian Church are invited to meet together for Ladies Night Out on this coming Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. at Bonefish Grill. You can talk to Diana Westfall, who's over here, if you're interested in going, and she can give you all the information on that. our weekly Bible study that meets Tuesday mornings and Wednesday evenings via Zoom is starting a new study this week. This will be on the book of Isaiah, and we'd be glad to have you be part of it. There is a study guide that's available in the Knox meeting room. If you want to take one with, look at it. Give me a call if you want to be part of the study. It's done by Zoom. So you can do this in the comfort of your home and in your PJs if you want. Habitat for Humanity will be doing their annual summer wall build this coming Saturday, August 20th. If you're interested in helping with the project, there are some flyers out there on the table as you came in. Be sure to grab one. They would be glad to have your help building the wall. And now let us begin our worship service with the music of the prelude.
Please join me in the call to worship this morning. Let us praise the Lord our God with all our hearts. Gladly we will sing and pray to our God. We shall bow down in the holy sanctuary of the One Most High, because our God is a faithful God and will love us forever. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Let us join in the opening prayer. God of steadfast love, you have written your testimonies upon the hearts of your people. Your commandments have guided them throughout the ages. We praise you for Jesus, who makes your will known to us. We sense your spirit in our working on our lives throughout all creation. You maintain your presence and give us cause for rejoicing. We acknowledge your marvelous deeds and adore you. Amen.
Please be seated. Invite the children that are here with us this morning to come join us up here. Those of you children who are at home, you can join us in your hearts and minds. We have a few. There you go. I know it's been a long time since you've come up here, hasn't it? And you know what? It's been a long time since I stood here with anybody in front of me. So I'm nervous. Maybe you're nervous, kind of like the first day of school nervous, isn't it? So, yeah, sort of thing. We got one more coming, I think. There we go. Maybe some more, a whole crew of them coming. I'll wait then. Oh, we got some over here too. Well, wonderful. Come on up here. Some of you brought backpacks. Why don't you set them right here in front of me here? Some of you, I'm going to bet, have backpacks at home, right? All right. Well, you know what? I can bless them here and at home. Watch me. Okay? There you go. I brought my briefcase. I don't use a backpack often, but I have a briefcase, and I carry things in my briefcase just like you do. And I was thinking, what sort of things do you have in your backpacks? You have books in there? How many put books in your backpack? Huh? If you put a book, raise your hand if you put a book in your backpack. Huh? All right. How many put... I know. That happens, doesn't it? How many put... How many put, like, paper in there, notebooks and things like that? How many put pencils and pens and markers? Yeah, you put a lot of good stuff in back, the stuff you need for school, right? Isn't that right? Well, we are so excited. How many of you actually started school already? And how many start this coming week? Okay, and how many start in a couple of weeks? Okay, I think that's about everybody. Starting soon, right? We're starting school soon, and we were thinking here that backpacks of all sort are one of the things we take to school, isn't it? And we take our stuff to school. And that helps us do what we need to do, right, at school, sort of thing. But you know what else comes with your backpack? You know what else goes with you to school? God goes with you to school. Yeah, I just want you to remember that, particularly to remember that here at the beginning of school when sometimes you're nervous, you got a new teacher, new classroom, new friends. You just remember that you're not alone there at school. God is with you and will be for the whole year. And our blessing of the backpacks remind us that. So let us pray while I bless the backpacks. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for this day and for these children. And we particularly want you to recognize that they all carry backpacks to school. And those backpacks carry all the things they need for school. And we are happy that they are here and that we can ask your blessings upon them so that they may know when they carry this backpack around that you are with them. and that your love surrounds them, and that they can turn to you whenever they have problems or a joy to share. May these black backpacks help these children learn, and we pray also for their teachers and their parents and our community as we begin a new school year. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay.
Stay right here, because when you go to school, you learn about things at school, right? So you learn about math, and you learn about science, and you learn language arts, right? And you might even have gym class where you run around and play, or you might have art class or music class, all kinds of classes at school, right? Well, at our church, we have school too, don't we? Yeah, we have Sunday school, and we have our program called Discovery Zone, which will start next week. But in order to do that, you need something very special. What do you think it is? Yeah, Emmett. Oh, you don't need a backpack to come to church, but there's something else really important that you need. Something like what you have at school. And Pastor Mark mentioned it earlier today. You need books, right? You need a specific book for church school, right? Yeah, the Bible. That's right. We need the Bible. And we give out Bibles every year to three-year-olds and fourth graders. So I have some Bibles. We have this Bible, which is a Bible that many of you have already received. It's a beginner's Bible, and the person who's going to receive this is not here today. Ryder Fuller is 3 years old this year, and he's going to be getting a beginner's Bible. But our fourth graders also are getting Bibles today, and these are special Bibles because this is a study Bible. So it has all kinds of questions that it asks you that relate to parts of the Scripture. And we have several that we're giving out today. We have one for Mallory Teener, who's in fourth grade this year. Oh, are you in third grade this year? We have it wrong on there, don't we? All right. And we have Joshua Hicks, who's also a fourth grader. And that's exactly the sound you want to hear when you get a Bible. That's wonderful. We also have Maddox Fuller, who's receiving a Bible, and Lincoln Carodi, who will receive a fourth grade Bible. And we need to update our yeah. grades there, Pastor Mark, yeah. for our records. So let's go to God in prayer and thank God for giving us this wonderful book called the Bible. Almighty and loving God, we thank you so much for the Bible that teaches us wonderful stories about people who wanted to learn more about you and their experiences with you. And we thank you, oh God, for these stories so that we might know how best to be in a relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. Hannah, back here in the back, is going to take you all upstairs for our jam program, Sunday school. And you can hold on to that, Mallory. Go ahead. Yep, you can take it too, Joshua.
Okay. And you can take your, if you brought a backpack, take it with you there. You can hang upstairs.
Can I have a bag?
There you go. There you go.
I think Stuart already has it. My brother's just going to middle school.
Mm-hmm. You're going to stay here sitting with us? Why don't you go up and see what's going up in the heart room? Going up.
It's nice to hear the sound of children in the sanctuary again. Nebuchadnezzar had sacked the temple in Jerusalem, and he had taken the survivors of that attack off to Babylon, and he and his sons had ruled for 70 years before the kingdom of Persia came to power. Here we come upon Ezra, who is the first of our Old Testament readings this morning, from the first chapter, verses 1 through 6. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Persia, so that he sent a herald throughout all his kingdom, and also in written edict declared, Thus says King Cyrus of Syria of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of those among you who are of his people, may their God be with them, are now permitted to go up to Jerusalem in Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord. The God of Israel, he is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let all survivors, in whatever place they reside, be assisted by the people of their place with silver and gold, with goods and with animals, besides freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. The heads of the families of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests of the Levites, everyone whose spirit God has stirred, got ready to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors aided them with silver vessels, with gold, with goods, with animals, and with valuable gifts, besides all that were freely offered. Our second reading this morning comes from Psalm 80, verses 7 through 19. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call you on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're going to have a reading from the New Testament, from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 6. Hear now these words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." And here ends our New Testament reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these words of Holy Scripture. And as we reflect upon them this morning, we ask the guidance of your Spirit so that what I say and all of our thoughts may be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So happy Rally Day, everybody. I do hope you will join us for the festivities at Henson's Place. This Rally Day, as I mentioned earlier, has a little cloud hanging over it, but we are praying hard and looking at the weather, and we will, looks like we'll be able to get that in. And it looks like you'll be able to get me wet. So there you go. The focus of Rally Day this year undoubtedly is that picnic and carnival that's scheduled for this afternoon. But there is a lot happening with Rally Day here this morning, which we already witnessed: the presentation of the Bibles, the blessing of the backpacks, and the kids are up in the heart room for Sunday school, the first Sunday school in a long, long time. And we all know the reason for this dry spell. We are just now, as a society, learning to live with COVID. And as a church, we are learning these same lessons as well. COVID is still around, but we are dealing with it. We are traveling some. We are meeting some. We are eating out some. We are still cautious. We still worry when we've been with somebody who's been exposed, or we worry when we hear that somebody has gotten it, somebody we know and love. And yet, we know that there are vaccines now that can help, and there are treatments that can help, and that maybe, just maybe, we can learn to live with COVID in our midst. You know, the thing about this pandemic is it doesn't really have an end, only kind of a gradual withdrawal. We're used to events having ends, aren't we? The turning points that we mark and recognize. Football season ends with the Super Bowl. The school year ends with graduation. The building project ends when the keys are handed over. The pandemic needs an end point, but it doesn't really have one, does it? And so if we can't have an end point, we can at least mark that it's not quite as troublesome as it was before. And so that, in part, is the hope and symbolism of Rally Day for us. For us at First Presbyterian, it is more than a day, than just a day to mark the beginning of fall. It is a day that marks the beginning of our new beginning, our journey into the post-COVID world, one that we have been taking hesitant steps and will continue to take hesitant steps, but steps nonetheless. And that is why I chose this passage from the book of Ezra this morning, this passage that marks a new beginning for the people of Israel. After decades of living in exile in a foreign land, the Israelites have now been permitted to return to their homeland. What joy that must have been for the Jews in Babylon when it was announced that the king of Persia had granted their release. What celebrations must have taken place? What hope must have bloomed amongst those downtrodden people? And so I hope that we can just capture a bit of that this Rally Day. For that's why I chose this passage, because I see this day as a symbol of our own release from exile from COVID. Similarly, the passage from the song is a prayer to God to restore us. For that too we hope for, some sense of restoration, of knowing God's presence, of having a life that we seem to know. And like the Jews in Ezra's time, we are still facing an uncertain future. The Jews who were returning to Jerusalem with Ezra were not the Jews who had been forced to leave some 70 years earlier. They were their children and grandchildren. The returning Jews, they only knew Jerusalem through the stories that had been told to them. They had no idea what awaited them as they made the long trek back to their ancient homeland. To them, it was a brand new world with brand new challenges and opportunities. And so it is with us, leaving COVID and entering a new world of which we know very little. We would like it to look like how we remember it, but deep down we know that it will be different. The world is not the same as it was 2.5 years ago, and we are not the same as we were 2.5 years ago. And yet that's a past we hold on to because it's familiar, even as we look to the future. As we noted, this week is the start of school for Westerville and the surrounding communities. We set this rally date for the beginning of school in part because school is such a powerful resource reminder of the transitions in life. This week, kindergartners are going to their first day of school, a powerful transition moment for parents and children alike. This week, freshmen are beginning high school, another momentous transition for children as they intentionally prepare for their future. And this week, or soon, another set of freshmen will have their first classes as college students. And for many of them, this will mark the first time that they are living away from home. And so for both parent and child, this transition is filled with both excitement and grief as they reflect on the constant change that is life. Parents in particular try to hold on to the past while at the same time they push into the future. And maybe that's true for all of us. We hold on to the past because it's familiar, even as we eagerly anticipate the future. We rejoice at graduations and weddings because they are moments where the familiar past is transformed into the possible future. We rejoice and cry, for in these moments we realize how much of the past we are giving up and how much of the future is possible. Dr. Marjorie Sukoki writes, "In your deepest self, every event of your past, the notable, the boring, the joyous, the sad, the wonderful, and the painful, still affect you today. And who you are cannot be explained without reference to who you have been. Who you are is made from a lifetime of experience continuously brought into the present. Your past is here. It's not really a way back somewhere, but here. The past is what shapes us. And yet, as we read in the book of Revelation, God is making all things new. We are not only shaped by our past, but we are shaped by our future as well." A while back, I heard a radio interview talking about the need of some people have, especially some Christians, to calculate the exact date of the end of the world. The professor being interviewed answered by saying that there is within us a need to see our lives and indeed all of history as heading somewhere, that it needs to have a purpose just as we need to have a purpose. And I think he's right. We live not for the past, but for the promise of the future. A future with a newness that we can capture. Some of us try to put dates on that future. Some of us live with the ambiguity. But I would say all of us, at some level, live so that we and the world might be changed for the better. John, in the book of Revelation, has given a vision of where the future is headed. And he saw it as glorious. A new city with God at the center will emerge, and life will be what it was. We've always wanted it to be. He says, "God will dwell among mortals and wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more." And we might write, "And COVID will be no more." Wouldn't that be nice? Yet there is something in that vision that touches all of us and compels us and shapes us. We are what we will become. Thus, we are creatures of both the past and the future, of what is ending in our lives and what is beginning. Therefore, it is safe to say that in some way, each new dawn is not only the dawn of a new day, but of everything new. As Dr. Sukoki puts it, this means that you are always in the process of transformation because the past is always being increased and the future is always moving. You are moving. You are transforming. Who you are is continuously in the process of change. Sometimes you notice it more than other times, but it never stops being true. So on this rally day, we recognize and celebrate what we are, what we have been, and what we will be. We will march to Jerusalem and there build a new future on the past. And we will march towards that new Jerusalem and find our future that ties the past and future together. And along the way, we will discover that whatever, wherever we have been, and wherever we head, and even where we are right now, God is there with us, affirming our past, blessing our future, and walking with us today. And we can all rally around that, I hope. Amen. Before God in prayer. O Lord, hear our prayers. God of all blessings, source of all life, giver of all grace, we thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains us, for the food of this earth that nurtures life, for the love of family and friends without which there would be no life, for the gift of your Son who lived and died and rose again so that we might have life. We thank you for the mystery of creation, for the beauty that the eye can see, for the joy that the ear can hear, for the unknown that we cannot behold, filling the universe with wonder, for the expanse of space that draws us beyond the definitions of ourselves. We thank you for setting us in communities, for families who nurture our becoming, for friends who love us by choice, for companions at work who share our burdens and daily tasks, for strangers who welcome us into their midst. We thank you for this day, for life, and one more day to love, for opportunity and one more day to work, for justice and peace, for your grace and one more experience of your presence, for your promise to be with us, to be our God, and to give salvation. We thank you for the gift of prayer, for all those we have mentioned here this morning, for the ill, the injured, the broken in body and spirit, for the lost and the lonely, the grieving and the despairing, for all your creation that waits with eager longing for your healing presence. For these and all blessings, we give you thanks, eternal and loving God, and we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us join in our closing hymn. Reminder of parents, the children will be up in the heart room, which is over there, and the rest of us and parents and children, coffee and cookies are in there. 5 o'clock at the Henson's house on Tussock Avenue. The address is in your bulletin and in the mailings that have gone home. Hope to see you there, but wherever you may go this day, may you go with God's blessings now and always. Amen.